very much, Marvin Miller, and a good evening, ladies and gentlemen. In tonight's story, I play a dashing man about town, Baron Roger Belmont. And our lovely guest, Miss Dorothy Warnschold, is Kitty, the girl who gets kissed in the dark in the operetta Orange Blossoms.
Oh, that kiss in the dark was to him just a lark, but to her was a thrill supreme.
It was spring. As far as I was concerned, there was only one woman alive in the whole world, and that was Helen. In fact, the world was Helen, and Helen was the world. And if I was ever to find happiness, it could only be with her. I had thought I'd been in love before, but I realized that spring I had never felt about anyone the way I felt about Helen.
It's true that I'm susceptible to ladies. It's true that I've a weakness for their charm. I have always found it simple to succumb to just a dimple or an ankle or a lovely pair of arms. But now my mad philandering is over. Those maids of just one charm have left my mind. For my new love's a complete thing. I have found the only sweet thing. Who has all the other charmers' charm combined? Though I've always played about, I can say without a doubt, this time it's love. For the thumping of my heart seemed to whisper from the start, this time it's love. She has made this weary world a fairyland, and the skies are blue above. I have felt this way before in my small affairs of yore, but this time it's love.
Though he's always played about, he can play without a doubt.
This time. And the skies are blue above. I have felt this way before in my small affairs of yore, but this time it's love.
I wanted to marry Helen, but there were certain problems in the way, and so I went to see my attorney.
Helen Vasquez, a divorcee, isn't she, Roger?
Yes. She had the property adjoining my aunt's on the Riviera. Aunt Mary and I both met Helen at the same time. I loved her immediately, and Aunt Mary loathed her immediately. So there was quite a row about it. And Aunt Mary said if I ever saw Helen again, she'd disinherit me.
But you saw her anyhow.
No, as a matter of fact, Helen left the Riviera a few days later. I would have followed her, but Aunt Mary became ill, and naturally, as her prospective heir, my place was by her side.
Naturally.
By the time Aunt Mary died, I'd forgotten.
You had forgotten Madame de Vasquez?
Oh, no. I'd forgotten her address. Anyhow, I never saw her again until I met her by chance last week. In the Bois Boulogne, stepping out of a Rolls Royce. Now? Well, now we're engaged to be married.
Isn't that rather sudden?
You wouldn't think so. If you'd ever seen Helen in the tight dress, stepping out of a Rolls Royce.
Oh, I see.
Now, sir, my aunt left me $17 million. Some I have the greatest respect for.
I don't blame you.
But in her will, which I have right here, she says that I can only inherit the money if... Now, get this. If I marry within the year... And if I do not marry any woman who is the divorced wife of a Brazilian subject.
Helen's former husband was a Brazilian?
Yes. What can I do? I don't want to lose Helen. And I don't want to lose the money.
Oh, well, then marry someone else. Temporarily. A marriage of convenience. At the end of a year, you can get a divorce and marry Helen.
But where will I find a woman I can trust in a situation like this?
I know just the lady.
All right. I'm in your hands.
I can't say that I care very much for the idea.
Now, Kitty, I have to have someone I can trust, and after all, you are my godchild.
Well, that isn't necessarily a guarantee that you can trust me.
Well, you can use the money.
Yes.
You'll get a large settlement at the time of the divorce.
Yes, I suppose there's no doubt about that. I need the money.
Well, then, what's the matter?
Oh, nothing, really. It's just that, like every other girl in the world, I've had my own dreams of spring and love and orange blossoms.
Papers, if you'd like to look them over, Kitty.
Oh, I don't have to read them. If you say they're all right, I'll sign them.
There's a clause stating that if anything develops of a personal nature between you and the gentleman, you forfeit the settlement. His fiancée insists on it. Oh, she's quite a jealous woman.
I don't think she need worry about anything of a personal nature developing under circumstances like these. There. That's signed.
Come in.
I'm sorry I'm late. My car stalled in the traffic.
Roger.
You've met.
I don't believe I've had the pleasure.
Well, I'm sorry. For a moment, I thought we had.
This is the young lady. Kitty, may I present Baron Roger Belmont. And Roger, this is my godchild, Miss Winthrop. If you wouldn't mind waiting in the next room, Roger. We're just completing the arrangement.
Of course. It's a pleasure to meet you, Miss Winthrop.
So, that's the man.
What's the matter, Kitty?
Well, of course he wouldn't remember. Why should he? I was hardly more than a schoolgirl. I recall the mad delight of a lovely day.
of course I remember now. We were both such kids. Well, I'd almost forgotten.
That's all right, Roger.
That was love in all its power, yet today it seems like a sweet but fleeting hour in the land of dreams.
Second act of Orange Blossom, starring Gordon McRae and his guest, Dorothy Warren Show.
Oh, that kiss in the dark was to him just a lark, but to her was a thrill to
dream. And so Kitty and I were married. I rented a house for her, and she lived there alone. I hardly ever saw her. Since Helen was my fiancée, she naturally resented any display of affection on my part towards my wife. However, I did go out to see Kitty with my attorney on the day before she was to file for divorce. I wasn't nearly as happy about the whole thing as I thought I would be. And I left the room so Kitty could talk to the lawyer alone. I went out on the veranda. I didn't mean to eavesdrop, and yet I couldn't make myself leave.
Well, Kitty, are you happy?
Why should I be happy?
The year is up. Now you can get your divorce, collect the settlement, and live the way you want to live.
The way I want to live? Oh, if I could live the way I really want to live. Oh, I'd live here, with Roger. It's only a loneliness. I'm alone.
I didn't know you felt that way. I had no idea. But I'm no good for you. I'm a philanderer. I'm a heel. I'm a bum.
I know it. You're no good at all.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that.
As a matter of fact, I don't like you at all. I just want to stay married to you.
Oh, now, Kitty, you'll be a free woman tomorrow. You'll meet lots of attractive men.
But none of them will be as attractive as you are.
Well, of course. You're right about that.
It doesn't matter to you how I feel, does it? All that matters is how Helen feels.
No, that isn't all that matters. You've got to find someone and be happy too, Kitty.
Any man would fall for you.
Tell them all to run along and play.
You are sweet as morning dew.
I won't listen to a word you say.
Kitty, darling, to yourself be fair.
Little just a pack of flirts.
You'll find one for whom you care.
Men are after anything in turn.
Don't you like the way men play?
I ask them not for study.
And they'll go, you know.
I wish it for.
Today, Roger. I don't think she realizes or means what she's saying.
Oh, now, Kitty, everything's going to be all right for you. I'm sure of it.
And living here all alone all this time has probably made her over-sentimental. I'm sure tomorrow she'll feel a great deal differently.
Are you?
Oh, I'm positive. Tell her that, Roger. You can make her understand.
These days are trying, but they can never last. Worry will soon be buried in the past. Although we know it is hard for us to bear, bravely we'll face this nighttime of despair. Then comes the dawning of morning so splendid that fair tomorrow when sorrow is ended. The darkest hour must come and go before the dawn begins to glow. And so, although our troubles seem double in gray light, they disappear in a clear sunny daylight. The very darkest hour must pass along. Then comes the dawning, and life is like a song.
Oh, Roger, don't you understand? You know, I love you.
Well, I must say, this is a pretty picture.
Helen. Helen, this is my wife. Kitty, this is my fiancée.
How do you do? You've broken the terms of your agreement, you know. It is stated in the contract most clearly. Nothing of a personal nature is to develop between you two.
All right, I forfeited the settlement. You can keep your money. I wouldn't touch it anyway.
Well, Kitty.
I never want to see you again. Is that clear, Roger? I never want to see you again. I'm sure I hope you'll both be very happy.
Kitty!
Let her go. You know you hate women who make scenes, Roger. Thank goodness tomorrow she'll be out of your life forever.
Helen?
Yes, darling.
Goodbye.
What did you say?
I said goodbye. Kitty.
Go away.
No. I'm not going away at all, Kitty.
What? What did you say?
I said I wasn't going away at all, darling.
Oh, Roger, I can't believe it.
Well, I'll prove it to you. Come here, Mrs. Roger Belmont.